Maybe you've heard about the global pandemic treaty that is being talked about right now. It's threatening to censor free speech and suppress freedom. Freedom of movement, freedom of conscience, freedom of thought, all kinds of freedoms are threat if this global pandemic treaty goes ahead. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 32 we read, of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times and knew what Israel ought to do. Now 1 Chronicles 12 lists all the different divisions and armies and units in King David's army, and tens of thousands of these and hundreds of thousands of these, and describes the different weapons. And then you get effectively the intelligence corps, the sons of Issachar, just a couple of hundred men, but they understood the times and knew what Israel should do. And no mention of their weapons, but it is a weapon. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. Our Lord Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. The World Health Organization, or should we call them the Wuhan Health Organization, is trying to approach legally binding pandemic treaties that they want every government to sign and to commit themselves to, where the WHO, or the World Health Organization, would be able to supersede the rules and the laws and the authority of local governments, sovereign governments, so that they can tell Europe or America or South Africa what we need to do in the time when they call it the pandemic. This is not a pandemic declared by the parliaments of any particular country. This is when the WHO decides there's a pandemic or climate crisis or any other kind of disaster or medical emergency. They can suddenly declare it, and then they can institute things like lockdown lunacies, masquerade madness, salvation by vaccination, or whatever their crazy new scheme is. This is the WHO headquarters, where they meet and decide the fate of people like you and I. This is where they decided how to run the last scandemic or pandemic, and where they're trying to control future pandemics. Interesting, when it's an election year, they want a pandemic so that they can have easier chance in spearing elections. For example, mail-in ballots and remote voting, because people are afraid to stand in line. That's an easy way to steal elections. But who is the head of the WHO? The head of the WHO is a communist who was a leader in a serious terrorist organization, a Marxist terrorist organization, Ethiopia. And in Ethiopia, he was party to covering up a major cholera epidemic, and not to mention murders and other things that they did in that group. So he's actually a war criminal, and he's got no medical credentials. So the head of the World Health Organization might call himself doctor, but he's got absolutely no medical credentials or training. And his main credentials is he's got a degree in violence. He's killed people for a Marxist terrorist organization in communist Ethiopia. And now Red China chose him to be their point man to run the WHO. So scenes from your next attraction, if they get their way. Of course, behind all this is Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, who has declared that the world is overpopulated, and to save the planet we need to reduce the world's population. I think we're around 8 billion at the moment. He wants to bring it down to 500 million, which Bill Gates and others agree on too. So that means there's about 7.5 billion surplus population of the world, which probably includes all of us, because they would not see us as the kind of people who deserve to live. We're Christians, after all. And you've got a whole bunch of others, from the arch heretic Fauci, he's the head of this religious cult, this COVID cult. Of course, Biden's very much into it. And I think this character is one of the dictators in Australia, in Prison Island. So they're talking about a medical tyranny rollout, where they declare a crisis, which could even be a climate crisis, for goodness sakes. It's broad enough that they could declare, because of the climate crisis, nobody can travel or nobody can use a car, or you all got to stay home or whatever. And then they can even determine everyone's got to get this vaccine or whatever. So right now, as America's heading into an election year, and so are we in South Africa, now there's talk about a new COVID variant coming out, and it's probably the election variant. And they want to have a pandemic global treaty ready, signed by every government before next year. That's the goal. And do you remember some premises having signed, you must be fully vaccinated against COVID-19 to enter these premises? And they want you to do the same for, to go on the aircraft, to get in the train, to get in the plane, to get in the bus, to go to church or whatever. And so right now, this is a map of countries where they stand in terms of advocacy of the International Plandemic Treaty. And of course, Australia is on board, Canada is seriously on board, most of the European Union is, and South Africa is unfortunately part of this scam as well. Our government seems to be bought and paid for by Red China and therefore by the Wuhan Health Organization too. So who is supporting the Plandemic Treaty? Well, of course, that includes heads of Australia and Britain and Biden and Justin Trudeau, who's got to be one of the worst leaders on the planet today, who's turned Canada into a real totalitarian dictatorship, oppressing people for no other reason than protesting against government, closing their bank accounts, freezing their assets, all sorts of terrible things. And at the centre of it is this WHO doctor whose only credentials are murdering people in Ethiopia. So Bill Gates represents the money, Fauci represents the power, and anyone know who this other character is who represents the poison? Is he maybe one of the, like a Pfizer CEO or something like that? Slaoui. They've long been making and selling scandalous vaccines together. It's actually a cartel. What you are dealing with is a new trinity of evil. And so they've devised these viruses in laboratories. It's been proven now. And the vaccines were being marketed, even they were being patented the year before the virus started. So we've got vaccines that have been pre-patented. It makes one super suspicious. Do you remember that Bill Gates made his fortune by creating viruses that you then had to buy as Microsoft software packages to counter the viruses? Now, if you did that to build up his Microsoft empire, do you think he might do that when it comes to vaccines as well? Or am I being too cynical and too skeptical here? When I was born, apparently a child was expected to have 4 to 5 vaccines. Today, it's something ridiculous like 70 or more that they expect some poor child to get. The amount of vaccines now is ridiculous. And when you look at it, the amount of mercury and aluminium and aborted fetal tissue involved in the average vaccine and gene alteration and slave mastering, all the things involved in it, you need to put a counter-inoculation into it of truth. Vaccines can cause injury and death. That is pretty proven. Vaccines have been proven to cause injuries and death. For example, if you go amongst the Amish people in America who try to live in a 19th century lifestyle and they don't do vaccines, for example, you will not find autism, you will not find Parkinson's disease, you don't find where they're losing their memory and so on, old ages. There's a lot of evidence that autism and so on has been seriously caused by vaccines. Not only that, but heart attack, strokes. Countries where COVID-19 vaccines were made mandatory, they forced it in Italy and Greece and Austria, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, Micronesia, Indonesia, Costa Rica, Ecuador and so on. Austria, they wanted to have nobody who was unvaccinated was allowed to leave their home. And this lockdown was so severe, until the head of the police and head of the army in Austria said, "Automatic, without me. If you want to enforce this, you do it yourself. The army and the police will not enforce these laws." And at that point, the lockdown ended because they were trying to force it so severely in Austria. And only when the police and army rebelled and told the government to go and do it themselves, they're not going to enforce their laws for them because nothing to do with defense or law and order, so it ended. The vaccines were found to be a means of mass control. Doses per 100 people. Some of the countries with the highest dose, of course, the United States and the UK. Interestingly, countries like Sweden, where they didn't mandate it, did better than Britain. They had lower rates of infection, lower rates of death, lower rates of complications, and they didn't destroy their economy. They didn't shut down sports, they didn't shut down schools, they didn't shut down restaurants. Sweden carried on as normal and left it up to people themselves to decide, do I want a mask or vaccine or to go or not? they left it totally free, and Sweden did better than Spain and the United Kingdom. Of course, South Africa, we also had quite a bit. Fortunately, Africa had the lowest inoculations in the world. Most Africans were not interested. I had people saying to me, I think that this vaccine is mooty to put a curse on us. I said, I think you're right. That's probably what it is. And so, just looking at the kind of masks and the personal protection equipment and so on that they're putting on and then injecting people. Do you remember Biden saying, we've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and we're going to force people to get vaccines in America, and the amount of complications, if you haven't seen the film Died Suddenly, highly recommend it. Of course, Plandemic, 1, 2 and 3 are all well worth watching, but Died Suddenly will really open the eyes, absolutely shocking. So how do we resist the COVID cult? The COVID cult, when it started out, Slime magazine called it the Great Reset, and I think that's so true, resetting the world. And Klaus Schwab is the author of the book The Great Reset, and he spoke about the fourth industrial revolution and transhumanism, and that this COVID crisis was an opportunity to rebuild society. And if you want to understand what the Great Reset means, it basically means a revolution. The Great Reset was to transform everything, change everything. You will own nothing and you will be happy. You will be happy. And remember how the media just pumped people full of fear, 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 panic. And do you remember what all the predictions were at the beginning? Hundreds of millions of people are going to die. This is like the bubonic plague. This is worse than the Spanish flu. Millions are going to die in South Africa. Hundreds of millions are going to die around the world. They were telling us this just before they locked us down in March. They were giving us pictures of people falling dead in China on the streets. And the terror, the fear, people didn't know. COVID could stand for control, oppress, victimize, isolate, and divide. The COVID-19 lockdowns of 2020 proved to be unjustified by scientific research, and it's all coming out now. At that stage, many people didn't know and could say, well, we didn't know, we were just afraid, we were stampeded into decisions. But now, they found that COVID was nowhere near as dangerous as the vaccines. Now we've seen that, in fact, it was basically about the same as a seasonal flu. And the lies that we were bombarded with. No, it wasn't made in the virus, in the laboratory, they told us. If you lock down for just 3 weeks, we can flatten the curve and you don't have to worry about it. Just 3 weeks. Okay, just another 3 weeks. And then, just one more extension, that's it. And then, if you'll just wear masks. And then, the masks aren't good enough, the lockdown's not good enough. But the vaccine, that's going to solve it. If you take this vaccine, you will not get COVID. If you take the vaccine, you will not be able to spread COVID. If you take the vaccine, you won't have to wear a mask. Lies, lies on every point. Even people who are triple boosted, double boosted, quadruple boosted, and the advocates from Ramaphosa through Justin Trudeau, or should I say, Justin Castro, all the way through to Jacinda Ardern, through to Boris Johnson, they all got COVID. Biden, they're all triple boosted, bolster shots, and then they still get COVID. So what's the point? If the people who got all the shots still got COVID, and then, oh, you can still spread COVID, even after you got the vaccination, and you'll still have to wear the mask. So what's the point? And despite the initial panic and the paranoid predictions, COVID-19 did not prove to be anything near as deadly as the bubonic plague, nor as devastating as Spanish flu, and we're grateful for that. Because you might recall, end of March, of 2020, the panic was huge. People expecting like a bubonic plague situation. Bubonic plague, by the way, one of three people in the world died. The population drop in Europe during the bubonic plague was colossal, and it took centuries, literally centuries, to recover from the population. 1,100, 1,200, 1,300. It took a long time till the population grew back again. The killer plague that shook the world with panic and death was the Spanish flu, so-called, which had nothing to do with Spain. The only reason the Spanish flu is called Spanish is because Spain wasn't at war in the First World War, and their press wasn't censored, so they could report on this, which was censored in the British and American other press. So they called it the Spanish flu, even though it was actually an American vaccine epidemic. It was not people dying of flu at all. They were dying of the after effects of the forced vaccinations that the soldiers were forced to take. There's no proven medical justification for locking down over 3 billion people and committing what amounts to economic suicide. Although the term suicide suggests that it's a voluntary act, but economic murder would be more accurate. The jobs of tens of millions of people worldwide were undermined, in some cases were destroyed. We all know people whose jobs were destroyed, who lost their jobs or whose businesses suffered, especially in Cape Town where we deal with tourism and having things cut down. The tourists don't come, so many service industries were dependent on it. And the supply industries, the supply chain was massively disrupted. Big tech, big pharma, big government united to crush family businesses and the small entrepreneurs. Now, it might have made sense if they said, we're closing Macro and the hypermarkets, but the small stores can stay open. That would have made sense. But no, they crushed the small stores. They only let the big mega Macros and pick and pay hypermarkets stay open. That just doesn't make sense on America, Costco and so on. The COVID-19 lockdowns proved to be a cover for colossal corruption and for communist centralization and control. The corruption was huge. Remember our president, Ramaphosa, telling us they've got $500 billion to compensate businesses who are going to be locked down and people who are going to be put out of work. We're going to compensate you. We've got this $500 billion fund. And then it came out from the president of Belarus, who said he had been bribed by the World Health Organization that if he would lock down his country, they'd give him $500 billion. Same amount of money, funnily enough, by sheer coincidence. And he said it's going to do more damage to our economy than that. And they said to the president of Belarus, well, it's at your discretion how the money spent. Such as effectively a bribe. Destroy your family's, your country's economy, we'll give you $500 billion. Well, apparently our government took it and just didn't pass it on to the people it was meant to go on to. So governments were being bribed to lock down their communities, which explains why you've got countries all over the world having exactly the same strategy. They all followed the CCP, or the Communist Party of China's strategy, which is masquerade, lockdown, vaccinate, and so on. How is it possible in the history of the world, has anything like this ever happened before, where everyone in countries all over the world have the same reaction, have the same game plan? Galatians 5 says, but you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the French Revolution was governed by a committee. They called the committee the Committee for Public Safety. How do you like that for a nice name? And the committee was under the chairmanship of Maximilien Robespierre, who chose who to guillotine. So the Committee for Public Safety chose the 40,000 Frenchmen who lost their heads to the guillotine, and they also determined the 300,000 who were selected to be killed by firing squads, and the millions more who died in the ruinous 25 years of revolutionary wars that flowed from the French Revolution, all organized by a committee, the Committee for Public Safety. Do you know what KGB stands for? My Russian friends have said KGB is the Russian initials for what in Russian was the Department of Homeland Security. Now, isn't that a nice, inane terminology? Department for Homeland Security, or Committee for Public Safety, and they're the ones who determine who to kill. The word Soviet means committee, as in the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, meaning the Union of Committee-run Socialist Republics. That's what a Soviet is. A Soviet is a committee. Hence, when a South African ANC government chose to sideline Parliament, replace Parliament effectively with a Committee of Six, the Committee of Six assured us they would consult their ancestors. I think that's a bit of an ominous sign. It would have been nice if they consulted their constituents and the voters and the parliament and their representatives, and to consult some ancestors who might be for we know demons. Or, even worse, consult the Southern Communist Party handbook and Marxist manifesto. Not only was parliament sidelined, but the Bill of Rights was effectively suspended by martial law type lockdown and curfew. No law is valid if it violates the Bill of Rights. According to our constitution, any law that violates the Bill of Rights is invalid. Well, the extraordinary COVID-19 state of emergency or state of disaster lockdowns violated these essential freedoms. Now, I'm quoting straight from the Bill of Rights from the Southern Constitution. Freedom of religion, freedom of belief, freedom of worship. Now, if you just compared how you could cram people into an aircraft, but you couldn't have people in the church, this wasn't about your health, obviously. Casinos were open, but not churches. Freedom of opinion is also in our Bill of Rights. Freedom of conscience. Freedom of thought. Freedom of expression. Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freedom of speech. Now that's from Benjamin Franklin, the founding father of America. Freedom of speech is foundational for all freedoms. When you're not allowed to say things, when you're being deplatformed, when you make a post that's immediately being sold, fake news, or being deplatformed or shadow banned, that's not freedom of speech. If you accept restrictions on free speech for any reason, it means you didn't have an education, you had an indoctrination. Imagine if they could scrub child porn from the internet as fast as they scrubbed hydrochloroquine video. The hydroxychloroquine treatment for COVID, that was scrubbed so effectively. Well, if they could do that, could they not scrub child porn off the internet, which is say they cannot? So on. What about freedom of the press? And these poor cats, I mean, you can't catch a mouse without a mask. Chasing birds is not allowed in level 4. It's all part of a larger agenda. I think you're being paranoid, says the person wearing the hazmat suit, the mask and the gloves and all that. I mean, who's being paranoid? The person walking around free or the person who's just wrapped up like they're a lunatic? Apparently perfectly normal to be walking around like you're some spaceman with all these masks and visors, but you're a sociopath if you walk around without a mask. The facts were, even according to the CDC, Center for Disease Control, which Fauci ran, even when 1% had contracted the virus, 95% of those survived, which meant, considering the amount of people who died of the virus, you had a 99.9% survival rate. Were these masks and restrictions necessary, or were they just politically motivated? Are these motivated by medical reasons, or is it more likely a money-making racket? And you can see the PPC in this country became a massive racket for people who had good connections with the ruling party. So let me get this straight. All the projections were wrong, because all the assumptions were wrong, but we still can't go outside because the people who were wrong said so. Is that about right? So the people who lied to us about the source of the virus, the danger of the virus, the spreading of it, and all that, we had to trust them when they said, you've got to stay at home and you're not allowed to go out and you cannot do this and that. And they're arresting people running around an empty field for exiles and so on. There was so much fraud with COVID. Fraud on the payments, fraud on the statistics. They lied about just about everything. We know people who died of a motorbike accident and was put down as COVID-19. Someone who died of a stroke put down as a COVID-19 death. People who fell from a height and died, COVID-19. They were lying on every level. Why? Because the hospitals were being given more money for everybody who was tested, more money for everyone who diagnosed positive, more money for everyone who died, more money for everyone who got vaccinated. And so the more people who died, the more money you got in your hospital if you died of COVID. So if a person just died of anything else, but they also had COVID, or tested positive for COVID, that was a positive. But there was so much fraud. Now those of us who are my age or older can remember, in the 1960s we were being panicked with, there will be no oil reserves in 10 years. We're running out of oil. There won't be enough petroleum. We cannot continue to sustain this. 1970s, they were telling us about a new ice age in 10 years. I remember that. Victoria Falls is going to be ice. You'll be able to ice skate on Zambezi River and the Kariba Dam. There's a new ice age is coming. Dead serious. They were telling us that. 1980s, acid rain will destroy all crops in 10 years. I remember that. Acid rain was going to be such a threat, we won't have any crops anymore within 10 years. 1990s, the ozone layer is going to be destroyed in 10 years because we're using aerosol cans. And because of our aerosol cans, there's going to be no ozone layer. In 10 years, we're all going to die of skin cancer because the ozone layer is going to be depleted. From the year 2000, it's been the ice caps will be gone within 10 years. By 2013, there won't be any ice at the North or South Pole. And cities like Cape Town, London, New York are all going to be underwater because with the ice packs having melted, you're going to have the sea level is going to rise, and every city on the sea level is going to be underwater. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Not one of these catastrophes happened, but every one of them resulted in more taxes and more regulations. Now, if you're not old enough to remember these environmental scams of the past, you're not old enough to understand how this game is planned. The way this game is planned is the government insists you must believe. You will believe, or you'll be burned at the stake of public opinion or the modern equivalent, deplatformed as the case may be. You must believe. It doesn't matter about the evidence. It's for your own safety. Don't you know COVID-19 can kill you? They actually shot people dead in South Africa to stop them getting COVID. I suppose that's an effective way of making people. In the early parts of lockdown, an army was told, you are fighting for the survival of this nation, and Ramaphosa mobilized the soldiers, telling them they must fight this like it's a threat to the country, and they shot people dead in the streets for breaking curfew and lockdowns. In Zimbabwe, they came into churches in Zimbabwe, beat up the pastor, blood trailing from his head, dragged him down the aisle with blood trails down there, rifle butted him and members of the congregation, kicked them in the head. What more must the government do to show they really care about your health? And that was just one country. I mean, that's a very extreme example. But in South Africa, this cartoon is not exactly fictional. These things happen. People are kicked and stomped and beaten as part of police and army in the early weeks of this COVID lockdown to enforce the lockdown lunacy. And the media was told to focus on the COVID paranoia propaganda, but not the inevitable consequence of the tidal wave of poverty that's going to come after you shut down the economy. An economy is a delicate thing. And, I mean, just think, for example, your body. You need thousands of things to work right to be healthy. You only need one thing to go wrong in your body for your body to be unhealthy. Now, an economy is much like our bodies. You know, we need how many millions of cells and how many liters of blood and all the different nerve endings, and not to mention your heart, your lungs, and liver, kidneys, to do their job, or you are going to be sick. And a major organ being shut down can mean death. Like, you know, if there's a slight closing of the heart or the brain, you can have strokes, heart attacks, and these things can be fatal. Now, you shut down whole parts of an economy. This whole area is shut down. Can you tell me which parts of your body are non-essential? You know, is your liver essential? Is your heart essential? I mean, what is non-essential? Can we say any part of your body that shuts down, you will be sick. You might even be paralyzed. So the idea that you can shut down parts of an economy and the economy survive, it's ridiculous. It can't happen. But look at the logic. Abortion clinics could be open, casinos could be open, but churches had to be closed. Can you see the anti-Christian bias here? In fact, WHO managed to close more churches than Stalin and Mao Zedong combined. What about freedom of association? What about freedom of assembly? What about our freedom to demonstrate, which is part of the Bill of Rights? Freedom of movement. Any law that violates any of these Bill of Rights is an invalid law. Our freedom of movement was severely hampered. And have we ever seen anything like it? The amount of cancelled flights, borders closed, just absolutely extraordinary. Could you have an overloaded combi? Yes, not a problem. Could you walk your dog? No. Could you cycle? No. Could you run? No. Now, this is an interesting cartoon. Phew, I thought they were after us for an overload taxi. Nope, somebody was walking their dog. The police going hysterical over somebody walking in the fresh air with a dog and not worrying about the people crammed in to a taxi to overflowing. So, your 2020 passport stamps could have been something like this. Departing the bedroom and entering the kitchen, and departing the bathroom and entering the Zoom meeting, arriving in the lounge, and you know, never thought you'd be jealous of a chicken. The eggs in this box to be laid by hands should be allowed to roam freely. Wouldn't it have been nice if we were allowed to roam freely? So you're staying inside, practicing social distancing and cleaning yourself. Congratulations, you've become a house cat. And what about our freedom to trade? They suffocated our freedom to trade. The poor people who lived by being salespeople on the side of the road, entrepreneurs, they were crushed. In some cases, they were whipped for trying to sell their goods and eke out a living on the side of the road. The cracking down informal traders was wicked. Our Bill of Rights is not over yet. We have a freedom to occupation, trade, and profession. But not during the lockdown, they closed those down. Do you know the amount of wastage, the amount of conferences that were cancelled, the amount of camps And then, of course, theme parks have closed and holiday places and restaurants. And so the amount of food thrown away in March and April of 2020, absolutely sickening, absolutely criminal. The vast tons, thousands of tons of perfectly good food thrown away because of the lockdown lunacy. But if you can run a business on level 3 lockdown with stage 2 load shedding in a double recession with no BBEE certificate, you can make it anywhere in the world. Just like South has got some of the greatest farmers on the planet, we've got some of the greatest entrepreneurs on the planet. South Africans always make a plan. That's one great thing. Even with the worst situations, with the worst governments, we can somehow make a plan and work together as communities, as congregations, as families, and we can survive. South Africans adapt and make a plan. The lockdown was clearly unconstitutional. No politicians have the right to declare people's livelihoods non-essential. In fact, what we did at our mission is the hard lockdown the first 5 weeks, well, we had no real choice. But by the time they got to level 4, only essential services allowed, we declared ourselves essential. I actually designed a certificate that Literature of Africa, Frontline Fellowship were essential services, and Christian Liberty Books with education. So we declared our different ministries essential services, made our own certificates, showed them at roadblocks, and we carried on from level 4 on, because missions is an essential service. So the moment they opened for essential services, we worked on a basis that it's easier to apologize than to ask for permission. We're not going to ask permission from any government. We consider our work essential, and I think everyone should consider their work essential. No politician who's living on our tax money has the right to declare our occupation non-essential. And whether we're offering us some kind of payment for you being locked down, your business being closed down, I said publicly on radio and so on, why do that? Why not just suspend rates and taxes? That's going to be better for us. You don't have to pay rates and taxes during lockdown, suspend taxation, something like that. They don't have, because if they say we're going to hand out money or checks, that can disappear. In fact, it all disappeared. Hundreds of billions disappeared. But if they just stop charging you, like, okay, you don't have to pay any rates and taxes during a lockdown. First of all, lockdown wouldn't last as long. And secondly, there'd be no room for corruption on the side of the government, which is the obvious thing to do. But governments don't do what is obvious. Now, those of us who worked behind the Iron Curtain during the Cold War, we know how it worked. The amount of people who were spies for the Stasi, for the KGB, for the Securitate. And we saw these people all over the place. These people phoning in. My son was running around an empty field in Pines, around an empty field. And a whole lot of security vehicles and a police car came to arrest him for running around an empty field alone. Like, how is that going to threaten anyone? And then I'd be walking my grandsons and have people shouting from their stoop, "Where's your mask?" We live in the same home, this is my grandson. We don't need to wear a mask. And when I had people, you know, "Where's your mask?" or people phoning to complain, you know, I saw them in the back garden, they're not wearing masks and all of that sort of nonsense. Well, I tell people in shops that they told me to wear my mask or to lift the mask over my nose, never, ever, ever wore it over my nose, and say, "I've got a medical condition, I need to breathe oxygen." It's a medical condition. The lockdowns also seriously curtailed the freedom for cultural, religious and linguistic communities to gather and practice their religion in free association with others. This is in our Bill of Rights. Well, one of my sports is historic European martial arts, sword fighting. Now, can you find better social distancing than this? If you get within a meter, we bang you over the head with a metal sword. Now, that's social distancing, don't you think? And yet, they forced us to close down because we all need to wear masks. We're wearing a helmet with a metal mask to protect your face from swords. Now we need to wear a cloth mask underneath. But you can't do vigorous physical exercise while you're suffocating yourself, not being able to breathe fresh air. So what are we meant to do? Maybe we could go to jousting. You know, I mean, that's the best social distancing possible. Everyone gets within 3 meters of you, you're unwholesome. So maybe that would be a way to go. But how can your sports be declared unhealthy? What we needed was fresh air and exercise. The best thing you could have done is go to the park, go to the beach, and get out in the open air, go in the forest. The lockdowns also violated the basic principle of the rule of law. We're meant to be presumed to be innocent until proven guilty, but the lockdown worked out that you were presumed to be guilty with no chance to prove you innocent. If masks worked, why were lockdowns necessary? if lockdowns worked, why were masks necessary? And why did so many people wear masks when they were on their own, in their home, or in their car? In fact, there was even one of these people advocating that you should wear a mask when you sleep, because you might be visited by ancestral spirits. They're serious. That's just one of the people advocating, wear a mask while you sleep. Yeah. Well, I didn't. But I'm still seeing people driving around wearing a mask on their own in a car. Really worried for those people's mental health. And why do people walking alone outdoors need to wear a mask? And then we had all these massive, massive preparations for these tens of thousands of patients that were anticipated but didn't come. And in these beds already, Cape Town International Conference Centre was prepared. And this is Cape Town International Conference Centre. And we had our Premier Wendy standing there waiting for the patients to come. They never came. In fact, Donald Trump ordered the biggest American hospital ship, which had thousands of beds on board, into New York City because they anticipated massive amounts. They never treated, after being there for over a month, they never treated more than 300 people on the ship. So this ship could cope with a war kind of condition with thousands of beds, and yet it was not needed at all. U.S. Navy hospital ship Comfort. It wasted its time in New York Harbor because the predictions were paranoid. They were absolutely over and above. Here's our provincial premier waiting in the Cape Town International Conference Center by the empty beds for the thousands of patients who arrived who never did. My wife was sick with cancer at that time, and she went to, at one stage, to Vincent Foley Hospital, and the oncology ward was full. So they put her in the COVID ward and said, don't worry, there's nobody there. The COVID ward was totally empty. They put her, an oncology patient, in a bed in a COVID ward because that's just only empty beds in hospital. So, you know, it sort of makes you wonder. We now know there was no medical science justifying such extraordinary and unprecedented requirements. Just take the Spanish flu of 1918, 50 million dead. In fact, more people died from the Spanish flu after the First World War than died from military wounds during the First World War. Just think of that impact. 5.26% of the world's population died in the Spanish flu, which was catastrophic. And then you think of the seasonal flu, which is normally about 650,000 people die every year from the seasonal flu. And that's less than 0.009% of the world's population. That's typical. So COVID, basically, the amount of people who died is 0.006% of the world's population, and the world's coming to an end. You've got to shut down all business, you've got to close all the churches, and you've got to destroy the world's economy. Now, 1% of the world's population, there would be 77 million dead. Well, 5.26% of the population of the world dying is something as tragic, and if 0.009% is no big deal, what the hell are we doing, is the quote. So to put this into perspective, the World Health Organization, their website, and the Global Health Observatory, road safety reports every year 1,315,000 people die from road accidents. This is one of the most dangerous things we do, is driving on the road. In fact, more missionaries die from traffic accidents than all other causes. And that would include, you know, bombings, kidnappings, snake bites, malaria, you can put it all together, road accidents. So the most dangerous thing we do as missionaries, even those of us who work in war zones, is driving on the road. And statistically, that's one of the most dangerous things all of us do. According to the World Health Organization, 10 million people die and fall ill with tuberculosis every year, and 1.5 million people die of TB every year. There were 228 million cases of malaria last year, with 405,000 deaths from malaria. I don't know if that's accurate. I thought that I'd seen statistics that up to 2 million people die of malaria every year in Africa alone, but even just taking this statistic, it's obviously a lot more than died of COVID. Alcohol consumption contributes to 3 million deaths every year, and disabilities and poor health for millions more. In fact, drunk driving is one of the biggest problems we've got in this country. Most vehicles involved, most accidents on the road are as a result of alcohol. Not only are most motorists under influence of alcohol when accidents occur, most pedestrians killed by road accidents are also under influence of alcohol, and most bicycle accidents are also under influence of alcohol. Most drownings in South Africa every year are because of alcohol consumption. Do you know most murders in South Africa happen on Friday and Saturday nights in and around ravines and places where alcohol is served? And most of the people who are murdered are under influence of alcohol or drugs, and most of the people doing the murders are under influence of alcohol and drugs. Most of the domestic violence is related to alcohol and drug abuse, but that doesn't seem to get much attention. Every year more than 8 million people die from tobacco use. That includes my parents. Both my parents died from tobacco-related illnesses. They smoked every single day of their life, and their life was shortened dramatically as a result of what they called coffin nails. They would laugh about lighting up another coffin nail. Secondhand tobacco smoke contributes to heart disease and cancer and other diseases. Another 1.2 million deaths every year. Obesity causes over 4 million deaths every year. And World Health Organization says there are 376 million new infections with sexually transmitted diseases every year, STDs. Cancer kills 9.6 million people every year. And that's lung, prostate cancer, stomach cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, cervical cancer, all cancers, over 9 million a year. So try to keep a balanced perspective. Avoid being stampeded into panic by sensational reports in the media. Why are they putting the zoom lens on COVID and not putting zoom lens on cancer or TB or road accidents or alcohol consumption for that matter? And the responses by politicians and bureaucrats who've used these medical crises to infringe on personal freedom of movement initiate intrusive procedures which impact economies and impact societies dramatically, not to mention people's health in the case of untested DNA-changing so-called vaccines. Far more people and businesses were ruined economically by the responses to the coronavirus than were actually affected by the virus directly. I know nobody here died of COVID, or you wouldn't be here, but were any of us here adversely affected by the lockdown? And I would say that's the point. The crisis wasn't COVID, the crisis was the lockdown, which is the government lockdown that caused most of the problems. And when they're trying to blame COVID for the economic problems, it wasn't COVID that caused the economic problems, it was the government lockdown policy following WHO. It's always wise to be prudent and to take reasonable measures to protect the lives of ourselves and our loved ones. Particularly those people who serve in healthcare should balance prudence with compassion when they serve people in care. We were taught in the fire brigade to use these one-way valves when we did CPR for people, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, or somebody faster, a complete stranger you don't know. And, I mean, many times it might be somebody who is passed out to alcohol. Now you have a one-way valve that you're putting over the mouth and you're breathing through to try and resuscitate this person. That made sense. Putting on surgical gloves when we were handling people in accidents, trying to limit the amount of blood that's on us, and especially when you're trying to resuscitate someone and the person throws up or vomits blood and so on, which happens, one-way valves make sense if you're trying to do mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Our Lord Jesus and his followers have always given special attention to the sick, especially those who are socially stigmatized and isolated, such as lepers. The Lord didn't avoid lepers. You will notice that the moment you read the Gospels. The Bible includes numerous hygiene laws and practices, and while we should steadfastly refuse to be stampeded into panic by sensational speculations and professional fearmongers, we need to be wise and we need to be prudent. Health and hygiene is a good idea. And then did you notice somewhere online the Centre for Disease Control quietly updated the COVID number to admit only 6% of the hundreds of thousands of deaths they were claiming died of COVID? Because they would claim anyone who died, even if they died of a heart attack or stroke or cancer, if they died with COVID, they put down as a COVID death. And when they adjusted it to be people who died primarily of COVID, then the statistics that they're screaming on the media every night went down to 6%. And in fact, it was after death had greatly diminished in Britain that they started to mandate face masks in shops. And again, it's a lot of pretense. And here's the statistic of, do you have a chance of dying of COVID? Well, when you're in the age group of under 70, you're in a 99% chance. Only people over 80 start to get into serious danger of dying of COVID. But then, you know, statistically, they're more likely to die of just basic old age and other problems. And nobody was dying of COVID alone. It's just comorbidity. There was a whole lot of other contributing factors. And so to say that a person who was suffering from cancer or TB and so on, that they died of COVID, is just a lie. And they did this all the time. Every day in South Africa, far more people are dying of AIDS and heart disease and cancer and TB and malaria and murder, car accidents and strokes and drownings than of COVID. And just to put things into perspective, if the masks work, why socially distance? If social distancing works, why wear masks? If masks and social distancing work, why are businesses closed? If you can stand in line at the grocery store, why can't you stand in line to vote? But that's the whole point. This seems to be preparatory to getting rid of the American president at that time, Donald Trump, by making massive fraud possible by saying you can't stand in line to vote, therefore you've got to have mail-in ballots. And they printed 80 million mail-in ballots, and the amount of fraud was obviously huge. It wasn't about the virus, it never was. It's about control. We faced the COVID cult, which gave dogmatic demands. You must accept and you must comply. You must submit and don't question. And if you question the masquerade, you're subject to shunning, harassment, and inquisition-like persecution. And idolatry. When we were locked down, we were meant to come out and what was 8 o'clock at night and clap and applaud and cheer for the nurses and doctors who would later be fired for refusing to get vaccinated. But the idolatry for the nursing staff and doctors who were at one time going along with the COVID cult lies and the whole propaganda, and then suddenly they were, after being great heroes and idols, they were demonized when they refused to get vaccinated themselves, and then they were kicked out. And the amount of almost idolatrous worship going worldwide over the healthcare professionals during the beginning of this, and unfortunately many of them went along with it. This kind of scene was obviously done for the media. This was the kind of scene that they were showing us at the beginning of the Wuhan virus. People just dropping dead in the streets in Wuhan, and people in hazmat suits removing them. And this does look a bit extreme, but this is how paranoid people could get. I don't think it's easy to breathe through plastic bags. In fact, they advise you not to ever put plastic over little kids. Now, who came up with this laser gun pointed at your forehead business? This looks absolutely sick. To point a gun-like substance at somebody's forehead, they could have gone through your wrist. Why the forehead? To subject people to the idea that you're going to have some laser-like gun subject you forward, and you've got to just stand there or sit there and take this. This is dehumanizing. This is child abuse. And as for this, if this is so contagious, surely just the slightest bit of spittle from a person's mouth would be enough. Why do they have to go so far into the throat and so far into the nose and basically cause damage in many cases? Maybe they were planting some microchip for all you know. They could be planting some disease for all you know. Next thing, cycling is not allowed because that might spread COVID. I don't know how cycling could spread COVID. There's no scientific evidence it ever did. And then think of the waste of fuel, a massive bus, and most of the seats you can't sit in, and the idiocy of this. Now, the one good thing is I was very glad a whole lot of things got a deep clean. That was nice. I think some buses and streets and trains got the only clean they'd ever gotten, probably ever. So one can only be glad for hygiene. But there was a bit of overdoing it. As for this sort of thing, lift up your arm, step into this, and you get sprayed from all sides. I don't know. It just seemed a bit bizarre. I went to some college at one point, and a man in front of me got out and stood like this, while a man who looked like he was doing crop spraying with a big tank on his back came and he sprayed him front and back with this. And he came to me and I said, no, I'm not going to have my clothes stained. Give me something to wash, clean my hands with, and that's enough. I mean, really, he wanted to spray me from top to bottom with something like this? No. This kind of insanity, danger. Do you remember these images? They seem pretty fake now. Do you really believe any of these things that were showing us on the media at the time to panic everyone into compliance? Do you think any of this was real? This is crisis acting. Real pandemics don't require faulty virus models, rigged test results, and inaccurate reporting, and they don't require manipulated death statistics where you take a person who died in a car accident or head trauma from falling off a building and calling it a COVID death. How do you manipulate the masses? Step one, fear. If you do this, you've got to do this or else bad things are going to happen to you. Step two is flattery. If you do this, you're a good person. Step three, bribery. Do this and we'll give you rewards. Step four, violence. Do this or else. We'll throw you off the bus, we'll kick you off the plane, we'll deplatform you, we'll stop you being able to study at this college or whatever it is. And we're at step four. They were literally threatening. The amount of people dragged off a bus, dragged off a plane, kicked off a plane because their two-year-old wouldn't keep the mask on their face. The two-year-old kept pulling their mask off. Well, who can blame the two-year-old for pulling the mask off their face? The two-year-old had more sense than the rest of the people in the plane. So, you've got a choice. Do you want to take their lives or do you want to take the red pill? The government sells fear so they can become your saviour. Christ says, fear not, because he is your saviour. I must choose Christ, not fear. So, the Hegelian parade. First they present the problem. The problem is COVID. The reaction is fear. The solution is tyranny. Problem, reaction, so thesis, antithesis, synthesis. The state produces the problem, they produce a solution, you don't like the solution, and that brings to the synthesis, which is what they really wanted you to come to anyway. So, problem, solution, and synthesis. If you injected an apple with aluminium and phenol, acetone, and millions of bacteriological viruses, and aborted baby fetal tissue and human DNA, would you eat it? And the question is obviously no, so why would you inject it to yourself? You shouldn't need an exemption to opt out of a medical procedure that has death as a possible adverse reaction. So as I talk about this global pandemic treaty, have we learned anything from what happened the last few years? Do we really want to give them this power again to abuse us, where you must get a vaccine or you'll lose your job or you can't study or you can't travel and so on? Well, one of the possible adverse reactions to a virus, to the COVID vaccine, was that you could die from it. So do you need to have an exemption to opt out of it? How can you make it mandatory when one of the possible adverse reactions is to die? Just look at this flu shot, just the normal flu shot, the mercury and ethanol and all kinds of horrible things you can't spell or pronounce, all the way down to dog kidney cells. Side effects include lymphatic disorders, gastrointestinal disorders, eye disorders, influenza type illness, respiratory infections, metabolism and nutrition disorders, nervous system disorders, psychiatric disorders, death. These are all possible side effects on these normal vaccines. There's a good reason why some people say, no, thank you, not for me. Here's a medical doctor in Christchurch, New Zealand. She says, I will not be getting the coronavirus vaccine in the future. Overall, my main issue against vaccines is I do not believe they should ever be compulsory. I'm far more likely to die from poisoning or a car accident at my age than from COVID-19. And that's true. Statistically, all of us are far more likely to die of a car accident than we are, or crime, than we are to die of a virus. Now, I was brought up in Rhodesia where we got bilharzia. It didn't stop us swimming in the dams. We got malaria. It didn't stop us going in the bush. We got tick bite fever. It didn't stop us crawling around the bush. We survived all that. Why would I want to stop living and hide in shelter in place just because some flu type virus? We are not living in fear. So where's this going? You cannot enter without a mask. You now need a vaccine ID to enter. So what stops them going on to you? You need a digital ID implanted in your wrist or something like that. Just to show you how medical science and advertising can be deceptive. This is back in my parents' generation. More doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. As your dentist, I would recommend Vice Police. Dead serious, this happened. Don't shoot, I'm retarded. Prove it. I believe I need an injection of the virus so I don't get the virus. If you don't get one, mine won't work either. Well, that is pretty retarded. If your mask works, why must I wear a mask? If your vaccine works, why must I get the vaccine? I've traveled to the Congo. To travel to Congo, I needed yellow fever inoculation. Now, I never bothered with the fact that most of the people in Congo didn't have yellow fever inoculations. I assumed that my vaccine against yellow fever protected me from those who didn't get it. That's the way it works. But suddenly when it came to COVID, if you don't get a vaccine, you're going to kill my grandmother and me, and you're a selfish, evil person. And that's pretty retarded. So again, when I was born, these were the kind of vaccines required. And then it grew, and now it's just unbelievable, the amount of vaccines that a kid's expected to get. Why? COVID-1984. Add the 84 after it and suddenly understand. George Orwell, back in 1948, wrote the book, a prophetic satire called 1984. Many people are calling this COVID-1984. George Orwell's prophetic warning, political satire, 1984, seems ominously relevant today. Just have a look. The Ministry of Truth, mini-truth, deals with lies. The Ministry of Plenty, mini-plenty, deals with starvation and rationing. The Ministry of Love deals with torture. The Ministry of Peace, mini-peace, deals with war. And the media communicate in newspeak and doublethink. Anyone questioning a party line is guilty of a thought crime enforced by thought police. Looks like you've had a bit too much to think. Support your local thought police. Don't speak out of question. Closed minds stop thought crimes. Those questioning the politically correct narrative can become unpersoned, vaporized, and disappear down the memory hole. Think of being deplatformed. No one that ever seizes power has the intention of relinquishing it. So Robert F. Kennedy Jr. bravely said in Berlin 2020, governments love pandemics for the same reason that they love war. It gives them the ability to impose controls on a population that the population would otherwise never accept, creating institutions and mechanisms for orchestrating and imposing obedience. Governments love crises, whether it's a military crisis or whether it's a political crisis or an economic crisis or medical crisis. It's used to give you more taxes and take away more freedoms and give more power to government authorities. Of all the tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of the victims may be the most oppressive, said C.S. Lewis. We're oppressing you for your own good. It's for the greater good. Now, if you follow that, then you won't have any freedoms left. The hypocrisy, the double standards, and inconsistency of those advocating social distancing should be seen in the bizarre leftist justification of the BLM and Antifa EFF riots by the same people who condemned anti-lockdown protests as threats to spreading the virus. So BLM could burn, loot and murder Baal, Lucifer and Moloch, going berserk. This is a mostly peaceful demonstration, by the way. Burning Minneapolis police station and CNN reported these as mostly peaceful demonstrations or protests. They burned and looted. They caused over $2.5 billion worth of damage in America in 2020, the summer of 2020. These riots, because nothing says justice more than looting flat-screen TVs and Nike stores, and people stealing, looting, burning. This is fine. The police stood by and did nothing. But only 10 looters at a time in a store, and wear your mask and stay 6 feet apart, basically. But a man standing up saying, let me open my business, is a dangerous lunatic, while a person stealing flat-screen TV, he's a righteous protester. So we learned you can be arrested for opening a business, but not for looting a business. Become ungovernable. This is war. This is what was going on in 2020. After us being locked down so much, you could have these lunatics going berserk, looting, burning, destroying, murdering, and that wasn't a problem, and virtually not a prosecution of any of them. And the politicians stood by. They locked the bathrooms not to spread germs and put portable bathrooms and funnel locked bathrooms where you couldn't wash your hands. Makes perfect sense in a pandemic, right? And this idiocy that we saw everywhere. They released criminals because they didn't want them to get COVID in confined spaces and prisons. And while they released the violent criminals, they jailed citizens for having violated lockdowns. Things like walking your dog and going to the beach or fishing or not wearing a mask or something. And so literally violent criminals went out and small business owners went into prison at the same time. That happened, not just in America and California, it happened in South Africa too. And then there was in South Africa looting and looting especially these store delivery trucks, burned them down. This vehicle was set alight at Dunoon. The same company, Pick and Pay, who donated thousands of food parcels to the people in Dunoon during the lockdown, were looted and burned out by the citizens that they had support and help. Does this make sense to anybody? This happened in South Africa. And this was okay. This was fine. I mean, this isn't endangering people. When you get out there and you are burning and loosing, that's fine. What you mustn't do is protest against the lockdowns in the mosques. Let the economy collapse, says the Member of Parliament. And so, yes, we saw this on our streets. Buses, trains, schools, universities, fire stations, libraries, cars, clinics, municipal buildings burned. Hair and beauty salons locked down. Ignoring real crime and real threats, the government's poured unprecedented amount of resources and energy into enforcing mindless requirements for even children at school to wear masks. And locking down even churches, even over Easter. Many congregations were not able to gather as government regulations prevented churches meeting in any school, scout or guide hall. So rites of assembly was suspended. When restaurant and hospitality industry workers in Cape Town peacefully protested, they were met with unprecedented violence by the police. The same police had stood by and done nothing while the mobs looted, burned and ransacked. Absolutely nothing while they were burning and looting Khayelitsha Clinic and burning and bombing shops and vehicles. But suddenly, when peaceful restaurants and hospitality workers were marching to Parliament, they were water cannoned, had stun grenades thrown at them, and tear gas used to disperse their very orderly march. Now, why are the police so quiet when people are looting and burning and murdering, and yet they can be so violent when somebody's protesting mosques? So thank you, government, for protecting me from a flu by completely destroying my livelihood, destroying my job, my income, my marriage, my families, my health, my freedoms and my liberties. I'm sure everyone felt grateful to government for that. And then Operation Lockstep, straight from the Rockefeller playbook. Start with common flu, go to compromised immune systems. What you do is, while locking the people down, you then lower the immunity system because they're no longer exposed to normal viruses. We absolutely pathologically cleaning ourselves, sterilizing ourselves endlessly. We're not exercising, we're not getting outside. Therefore, when you let people out again, they're going to be far more vulnerable to diseases. And so, COVID-19 was the first wave, but the recession economically was the big wave. So in this country, with over 20,000 murders a year, 50,000 rapes a year, trillions stolen by government corruption, incompetence, bankrupt state-owned enterprises like Eskom and a post office, and recession, drug status, massive unemployment, and yet he makes a speech against COVID, and you've got all these people around the country saying, oh, what a wonderful leader, we are really being led, and our country is saved, at last the president we can be proud of, and we can rebuild the country. How absolutely gullible can people be? From the day Ramaphosa took over, the economy has been in negative. They all scream about Jacob Zuma, but under Jacob Zuma, at least the economy was on the up. It was very little, but we were on the plus side. But since Ramaphosa has come to power, we've been on negative consistently. Since his first speech, which extolled expropriation without compensation. And the investment confidence in this country sank, and the economy's gone down. The rand has absolutely imploded. And yet the people thinking, what a wonderful leader. 2 Timothy 2:26, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Now notice, on the box that sells these cloth masks, warning, this product is not a respirator. It will not provide any protection from COVID-19, coronavirus, or any other viruses or contaminants. This will not provide any protection against COVID-19, against viruses or contaminants. Wearing an earlobe mask does not reduce the risk of contracting any disease or infection. And single use only. Anyone really pay attention to the warning labels on these products? Now, drawn to scale, COVID-19 virus is about that size. We're used to cloth masks like this. So wearing a cloth mask expected to protect you from virus is like expecting the tennis nets to protect you from mosquitoes. It's about as intelligent. Remember at the beginning, WHO said masks should only be used by healthcare workers, caretakers, or people who are sick with symptoms like fever and cough. And the British government put out a notification saying, evidence suggests wearing a face covering does not protect you. In fact, the evidence is that there's no benefit whatsoever wearing a face mask. So, you don't wear your mask. You're not vaccinated. You're selfish. So, we can say to these corons, You force others to inject themselves with dangerous substances so you feel safe. You force other people to cover the source of oxygen for months on end so you feel safe. You force other people to lose their jobs and retirements so you feel safe. You force others to stay at home so you feel safe. We haven't asked anyone to do anything, but their list of what they expect us to do is so long, and the person who doesn't want to comply is called selfish. And the people forcing their will on everyone else is apparently noble, not selfish. They didn't force people to wear masks during the so-called Spanish influenza, but they did try and encourage people to. So it says here that they're wanting people to freely choose to wear a mask. And people did wear masks, and I think it looked kind of funny. But then there were those advocating wear a mask or go to jail. And there were a couple of counties in America that actually, during the Spanish flu, threatened people with jail if they didn't wear a mask. And here it looks like a whole family having... Why would you have a family picture where everyone's wearing a mask? Masks dehumanize. The reason why people placed in front of firing squads traditionally have been made to wear a mask is not because of any concern for the person about to be shot. They don't care about the person about to be shot, they're about to shoot them. Wearing a mask makes the task of the firing squad easier by dehumanizing the victim by having parts of their face obscured. So the mask is not for the victim's sake, it's for the perpetrator's sake. It's long been recognized that forcing Muslim women in the Middle East to wear a mask is dehumanizing. Masks are not for your protection, they're a sign of your submission. It's been discovered long before Islam that forcing people to cover their nose and their mouth broke their will and individuality, depersonalized them, it made them submissive. And that's why it was imposed upon every woman, mandatorily using a fabric to cover their face. It turned it into a woman's symbol of submission. Submission to the man who's the owner of the harem, to the king and so on. And modern psychology explains it. Without a face, you don't exist as an independent being. A child looks in the mirror at age about 2 or 3 and discovers themselves as an independent being. The mask is the beginning of deleting individuality. He doesn't know his history is condemned to repeat it. Non-mask wearers are being depicted as disease-spreading defiant imbeciles, but in reality, the people who refused to wear the mask were fighting for the last remnants of people's freedom they didn't know they were about to lose. A lot of our neighbours, friends and family hated us for not wearing the mask, for not getting vaccinated and not adhering to lockdowns, but we were trying to fight for their freedoms too. As long as you wear the physical mask, a secondary mask will form, and that one, the mask of fear, complicity and mind disobedience, cannot as easily be removed from the human soul. The slave code. Stay at home when you're told. Queue when you're instructed. Wear a face mask when you're ordered. Go out only when they permit you to. Socialize only when you're allowed to. Clap and kneel on command. Desire to be tracked 24/7. Spy and snitch on non-slaves. Give your vote every election. Be subservient to authority. Obey without questioning. Isn't that the way it is? You've heard of the Pied Piper of Hamelin, where it led the children off following the siren song. And now we've got the pandemia, where people are to be controlled by the evil eye and WHO, and the masks are part of the control. Who would have ever believed that simply breathing openly in public would be thought of as selfish and considered a social crime? Could you have imagined growing up that one day breathing fresh air would be considered a crime and a selfish act? The COVID cult brainwashes people by isolation, conformity, indoctrination through repetition, fear and trauma. When I was being brought up, we were all expected to sit in the back of a big buggy, and there we'd be driving on dirt roads, a whole bunch of kids on the back of an open buggy. Today it's like they're going to be wrapped in bubble wrap and seat wrapped and masqueraded and all the rest. These poor kids forced to sit in these isolation cubes at schools. Wicked. Remain terrified. Question nothing. Stay at home. Remember in Cape Town they had these big billboards, if you're over 55, stay at home. Thinking, who made those rules? How old are the cabinet ministers who make that rule? How dare they say that you've got to stay at home? The media tells you who you should love, who you should hate, who you should fear, what to think. The media is the virus. Do your own research, think for yourself, and stop being a puppet. How can you tell when the truth is being told? When Facebook blocks it, when Twitter deletes it, when Google hides it, when YouTube bans it, when your government forbids it, when the media brands it as a conspiracy theory, then you know that is the truth. If you cannot question it, it's not science, it's propaganda. Science, by definition, is always to be questioned and tested. So here's a historic retrospective on a phrase, trust science. Nicotine cigarettes, the smooth taste expected mothers crave. No flies in me thanks to DDT. Heroin, hydrochloroquine, compressed tablets, directions, 2 to 3 to be taken by order physician. Let this magic mineral, asbestos, protect your buildings on your farm. Why don't they spray children with DDT anymore? Because somebody questioned the science. They used to spray kids with DDT in the face. That's what science said was healthy and good. No flies, me thanks to DDT. Dr. Batty's asthma cigarettes for the temporary relief of paroxysms of asthma. It effectively treats asthma, hay fever, foul breath, all diseases of the throat, head colds, canker sores, and bronchial irritations. We recommend it for children under 6. Dr. Batty's, talk about something being batty. Physicians call our new cigar a health cigar. And they speak about unconvinced irritants like nicotines and glycerides and aluminides and carbons, dangerous when used to excess when people are physically behind power, largely removed from Thompson's Mellowell cigars. Many former patients, friends, others, who've consulted me, ordinarily would be obliged to greatly curtail smoking and are enjoying their usual allotment of cigars with no loss of satisfaction or good health. He got some medical doctors advertising cigars, for goodness sakes. More doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Not one single case of throat and irritation due to smoking Camels. Start your 30-day Camel mildness test today. I'm going to grow to be 100 years old. More doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. The doctors behind the doctors. 10 months scientific evidence for Chesterfield. Now, my father smoked Chesterfield every day of his life. He died at age 67. He was crippled in a wheelchair, not able to move for his last weeks on an oxygen machine. Even when my dad was on an oxygen machine, he would be on oxygen, taking off to take a puff of cigarette back to the doctor. I said, Dad, this is highly thermal. This is ice in a fire brigade. That's very dangerous. You can blow the whole house up. He was so addicted, and nicotine is the most addictive substance. So he is literally smoking between taking oxygen from the tank right next to the bed. I could just praise God that the whole house didn't blow up, but really and truly, the amount of how people can say there's scientific evidence for Chesterfield being good for your health. Best for you, not just better, it's best for you. And your dentist wants you to smoke. If you ever feel stupid, just remember that people depriving themselves of oxygen to protect themselves from a virus that they're going to inject themselves with later. How stupid can that be? During the lockdown lunacy, we had people wearing their clerical collars going on billboards. This was on the side of buses and billboards. This vaccine is going to save your life. Vaccinate, let's do it. This is from a pastor here from House of Faith Ministries. Well, worse than that, I've just had trouble finding a picture, but I've got a picture somewhere in my files I just didn't find for tonight of Methodist Church on Green Market Square downtown Cape Town. They put down a big yellow banner. The blood of Jesus cannot save you from COVID-19. Only a vaccination can. Get vaccinated now. Wow. Now, what a blasphemous piece of garbage. It would have been more honest to say, no vaccination can save you from the fires of hell. Only the blood of Jesus can. Get saved now. That would have been more honest. But that pastor, if you can call it, that apostle who put up that blasphemous banner on a church steeple. Beautiful stone church, stained glass windows. I've never seen them having any sign with a scripture or call for salvation, like Jesus, the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father by him. No, they could only put things out there to promote either gun control or vaccination. The blasphemy. Now, all these different Moderna, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, and Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccines, they were still in trials while they were being delivered to people and being told these are safe and effective. Safe and effective. We now know they were unsafe and were not effective. Lies, lies, and more lies. Imagine a vaccine so safe you have to be threatened to take it for a disease so deadly you have to be tested to know that you even have it. Experimental injectable toxic cocktails which alters your DNA or compromise your immune system, rush to market in response to a contrived catastrophe, No safety studies, numerous reported adverse reactions, solution likely worse than the problem, government mandated, promoted through censorship and marketing gimmicks, developed by statists and eugenicists, no product liability, what could possibly go wrong? As the Pied Piper led the children of Hamelin away, the vaccines today are doing the same. COVID is a true killer. So far killed the flu, cancer, heart disease. Nobody died of flu that year, remember? It killed the ability to think, logic and common sense. It killed the economy, it killed the working class, it killed millions of jobs, it killed millions of businesses, it killed human connection, love and compassion. So that your friends, neighbours and family members could scream at you to wear your mask and so on. The hostility that was engendered. So that's what COVID really did. At first glance, I'll tell you, I had an arrow through your head, but I'll run a COVID test just to make sure. I mean, honestly, that's not much of a joke, but it's just sort of like that. For a country that killed an entire generation in the womb through abortion, but tells adults to wear masks to save lives, your words are an embarrassment and a joke. Honestly, for a government to pretend that they care about lives or care about our children while they legalize abortion, what a bunch of pathological, psychopathic liars. If masks actually worked, they would have been banned, just like hydroxychloroquine. And it's true, if they did work, they wouldn't be allowed. Remember what they did for ivermectin? Now, you know why Fauci and Biden hated ivermectin? Parasites all hate ivermectin. Dr. Richard Fleming brought out the book, Is COVID-19 a Bioweapon? A Scientific and Forensic Investigation. Now this is real science, a powerful, well-documented expose of those criminally responsible for the bioweapon known as SARS-CoV-2. That's from Dr. McCullough, founder of the McCullough.com. In this book, COVID-19, a Bioweapon, a Scientific and Forensic Investigation, Dr. Richard Fleming documents evidence showing the SARS-CoV as a bioweapon created over the past 2 decades. Once you conclude that SARS-CoV is a bioweapon, you also recognize the COVID shots are nothing more than genetic reproduction of the bioweapon. In other words, the vaccinations are also bioweapons. The same people involved in the funding of the bioweapon, the same people who've interfered with doctors providing treatments to patients, they're the same people who've been involved in the development of the COVID shots. Healthcare workers are injecting people with something they cannot possibly give informed consent for, which means healthcare workers are violating their hypocritic oath, which is to do no harm to their patients. You can't guarantee these are safe and effective. And in fact, even the head of Pfizer had to admit before the Dutch Parliament, we never tested them. We don't know what the effects are on pregnant women or anyone else. We didn't have time. It was an emergency, we had to bring on. No, we didn't do any tests. So they were telling people these are safe and effective when they knew that they did not know if it could be safe or effective. And it was proven later not to be safe or effective. And so healthcare workers who give COVID shots are violating international covenants on civil and political rights treaty, the Nuremberg Code, Declaration of Helsinki and other legal statutes. And so there's assessments on the origin of COVID-19 and the evidences it was manufactured in the laboratory, and the evidences in fact that CDC was paying for it, American taxpayers were paying for it on orders of Fauci in China being produced in the biological warfare laboratories. Trust Who, a documentary film produced by Lillian Frank, reveals the clandestine influences that are controlling the World Health Organization and that have been since the very beginning. WHO was the first agency developed out of the United Nations, and it was developed entirely by the communist groups as well, and the head of WHO were communists from the very beginning. And WHO quickly was infiltrated by industry, from big tech to nuclear industry, pharmaceutical industry, have historically dictated WHO's global agenda. And they put profits and power ahead of public health, and that's proven. Bill Gates is the number one funder of WHO, and Robert F. Kennedy's brought out the book Vax, Unvax, Let the Science Speak. People say, trust the science. Well, you should trust the science if you would look at it. Gates has used his money strategically to infect the international aid agencies with his distorted self-serving priorities. The US historically has been the largest direct donor to WHO. Well, Gates has eclipsed him. What happens when you wear a face mask? Scientifically, Dr. Ashton documents, you decrease your oxygen, this leads to hypoxia. And you increase CO2, leading to hypercapnia and respiratory acidosis. Increased sympathetic flight or fight response, which increases cortisol. It's increased your blood pressure. It suppresses your immune system. It increases your susceptibility to infection. Those with a respiratory or heart condition have an increased susceptibility for developing a life-threatening condition as a reason of wearing a mask. So actually, I wasn't exaggerating when I said, I've got a medical condition, I need to breathe oxygen. Now we've got scientific backing up of it. France forbade women to wear masks or veils in public for multiple reasons, including not to obscure your identity or responsibility for actions or accountability for behaviour. But so France at one time banned people wearing masks and veils. And now, just look how we've been going. It's like going back to masks. This is the way the whole the West is doing what they used to ban Muslims doing in their country. Facial recognition, much like number plates on cars and trucks, are essential in a law-abiding society. And we have facial recognition features all over the place. Interesting enough, South African law concerning protests passed in 1996 forbids the wearing of masks at any protest. And this is so people's identity can be determined in the event of any irresponsible action to be able to call every person to an account for what they've done. So when we've done demonstrations, we've refused to wear masks. Crime seeks anonymity, as you can see. Antifa loves wearing masks. They want to mask their identity because they're doing criminal activities that they don't want to be called to account for. And there's a need for courage and integrity and steadfastness. The cultural mandate of Genesis 1 and the Great Commission of Matthew 28 were stifled and suffocated during the lockdown. We need to unmask the truth behind the masquerade. When I travelled by plane in 2020, it was insane. First, they would have the charade of you doing social distancing to get on a plane. You know, stay a metre and a half apart and so on. Then you crammed into the plane, I mean, shoehorned in, not even an empty seat next to you. They just crammed you in elbow to elbow, shoulder to shoulder, crammed into the aircraft for a couple hours. And when you leave, they go through the masquerade charade again. Please, social distancing as you exit the plane, one row at a time. I mean, we've just been crammed into this aircraft, breathing recirculated air, and now they force you to go out, keeping social distancing between on. What a mindless charade. All this while churches were closed and casinos were open. Absolutely ridiculous and bizarre. Balakluk. All you need is the right major crisis and nations will accept the New World Order, said David Rockefeller. And it's like a Trojan horse. They say these are coronavirus precautions, and it's for a matter of public health and safety, but inside is coming a new world disorder, martial law, police state. Can no one see this? You create a virus to lead to a lockdown. You go cashless to install G5s. You create RFIDs to inject as a vax. I mean, can you see the progression? And the enemies are the people. You've got these shadowy governments, these billionaires at top, everywhere from Rockefeller and the Rothschilds, the Vatican, to the Soroses and the Zuckerbergs, Gates, going through the digital currency, population control, population reduction. And then they use a crisis, whether it's the pandemic, economic crash, or George Floyd, and fund the reaction, lockdown, masks and distancing, riots and lawlessness, anarchy and chaos, for the solution. You need a vaccine, ID, microchip, you need to go cashless, New World Order. What does Revelation say? Satan wants a one world government with a one world economy and a one world interfaith religion. And can you see that is where they are trying to lead us? The vaccine racket is a racket. The people who manufacture the vaccines are funding the CDC, and the CDC is mandating a lot of things, and you can see how the universities are being funded by the vaccine manufacturers. For example, do you know that Bill Gates, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, put billions of dollars into universities, but only into the vaccine sites of universities. So the medical faculties and universities such as Stellenbosch, UCT, UWC, Orange Free State, for goodness sakes, all the way through Transvaal and so on, all universities all over the world, they put money in to the tune of billions. But they fund the vaccine side of the medical departments, which means they are brainwashing the next generation of doctors with the propaganda they want them to hear in order that they will then mandate their vaccinations and their products, which will enrich them. Bill Gates said, the best investment he ever made was vaccines. Where else can you get 1,000% return on your investment? 1,000% return. Most of us are happy for a 5 or 10% return on investments. But they can mark things up literally 10 times, 100 times even, and get a full return on their investment, because vaccines are like that. And it runs on fear. The pharmaceutical industry does not create cures. They create customers. They're involved in disease management and symptom control. It doesn't cure you at all. In fact, healthy food and exercise is health care. Drugs is sick care. To call drugs sick a health care is to lie. It's very easy to say that most of the experts agree, when experts disagree, have been censored, attacked, mocked, threatened, ostracized, scared to speak up, have their licenses and careers threatened for doing so, are never featured in the pharmaceutical-funded mainstream media. So, when I say that experts agree, no, a lot of experts do not agree, but forgive me for not trusting an industry that is financially dependent on me being sick. The CDC is not an independent agency. RFK Jr. says it's a vaccine company. The Center for Disease Control owns over 20 vaccine patents and sells $4.5 billion of vaccines every year. That's billion. We're not talking about Zimbabwe dollars, American dollars. This is big business. Depopulation through forced vaccination, through zero carbon solution. Bill Gates and other globalist New World Order characters are saying the world's overpopulated. They want to bring the world's population down to 500 million. That means getting rid of 7.5 billion surplus population. So, is there reason for us to be skeptical that a man who wants to depopulate the world wants me to take this vaccine to increase my life expectancy and my health? I think there's a bit of a conflict of interest here. The same guy says we need to depopulate, wants to save everyone with his vaccinations. Would you trust him? Zuckerberg deletes your post, and Amazon deletes your books, and YouTube deletes your videos, and Bill Gates can delete you. Big Pharma is using the vaccines as a cash cow. And Fauci says they're safe and effective. Don't be coerced, it cannot be reversed. Our children are being raised in fear. To fear one another, to fear the world, to fear illnesses, to fear viruses, to fear even the air they breathe. They're being taught to fear everything. It's terrible to think of those poor kids who the first experience in school was in 2020, wearing masks. For goodness sakes, what are you teaching those poor kids? Prolonged fear is terror, and terror becomes trauma. Psychological damage done to the kids is irreversible. There are kids who still walk around today wearing masks in public when there's no need for them to do so. I've seen this at Denver Airport. The Denver Airport has big murals painted in 1994. Isn't it weird that they had this plan so far in advance that you've got children of the world wearing masks depicted in wall murals in 1994? Who would have even thought that that would have been possible in 1994? And also there's people who say the 1918 Spanish flu didn't kill 50 million people. Vaccines that the government forced them to take killed them. And they're repeating the same pattern now. There's a lot of evidence, actually, that the Spanish flu was more like a vaccination pandemic that killed more people from the vaccinations, adverse reactions, than the actual flu. So how do you legally decline a vaccine? Ask, does this vaccine include MRC5, which they all do, which includes aborted fetal tissue? If you forget the number, does this include aborted fetal tissue? Yes, they all do. Well, that gives us a good reason to decline, because as Christians, we're pro-life and we don't like the idea of having some products of abortions in a vaccine, which they all have. And is there a possibility of a latrogenic reaction, adverse reaction, caused by multiple compounds or drugs interacting with each other, which they all do? And if they say yes, well, that's good enough reason for you to decline. So ask a few questions first. The maker of the COVID test says the pandemic is the biggest hoax ever perpetrated. And this top pathologist, Dr. Roger Hodgkinson, said that the coronavirus pandemic is the greatest hoax ever. And his test was never designed to test whether a person has COVID-19 or not anyway. And you know that every one of us has within our bodies elements of TB or cancer. But if you don't have symptoms, you're not sick. Your immune system is able to handle these things, and if you don't have symptoms, by definition, you're not sick. But if we use the COVID-19 test strategy, then all of us would be diagnosed with cancer and with TB, because we've all got those floating around our system somewhere. That doesn't mean you're sick, though. If you don't have symptoms, it means your body's handling it quite adequately. If their news is fake, imagine how bad their history is. And I can tell you, having studied history a lot, we've got a lot of fake history out there. Imagine if there was a 99.7% chance you would not get cancer, but you were forced to go on chemotherapy just in case. Would that make sense? The idea that we all have to take COVID vaccine, so-called COVID-19 vaccines, mandatory, even though we had 99.7% chance of recovering from it if we got it, would it make sense? How did it start? Get a free donut. After a while, kicking down your door to force you to get it. It's worse than George Orwell's 1984 when you look at the big media, big tech, big pharma. Socialism grows as Christian independence declines. As long as people are slaves within, they will demand slavery in a social order. Socialism has filled the void created by Christians. When the shift flattened the curve, did you know that we're going to use a hammer and sickle to flatten the curve? It should be worthwhile to point out that while a coronavirus from China has killed a few thousand people, the communist ideology has killed over 69 million people in China and well over 100 million more worldwide. So the real virus is communism. And so, yes, this virus that came from China was bad, but the communist ideology is even worse. It's not only physical ideologies, it's ideological, spiritual disease which we should be concerned about. And you should see The Greatest Killer, which documents that the real virus actually is communism. And the World Health Organization and the UN is heavily controlled by communist ideology. Their throat is an open grave, with their tongues that practice deceit. The poison of asps, snakes, is on their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The real conspiracy theorists believe that the government cares about them, that the media would never mislead or lie to them, and that the pharmaceutical industry that makes billions of sickness wants to cure them. That's a real conspiracy theory. The madness ends when we say, no, I will not comply. There's nothing more unattractive than muzzled, obedient men. Now here's a nurse at protesting. 573 days she was face to face with COVID patients while unvaccinated. She never got COVID. She has an immune system. Don't mandate my choices. Funny how these nurses who were heroes during the COVID crisis suddenly became evil people to be fired for refusing to get a vaccination later. Have you heard of being trans-vaccinated? This man's not actually vaccinated, but he identifies someone who's vaccinated. Now, if you can be a transgender, can you be trans-vaccinated? I'm not, you know, like, if you're not really a woman, but you pretend to be a woman, can you identify as someone who's trans-vaccinated? So, a few inspiring pictures of Cape Townians protesting against the mosques. We were part of these demonstrations. Keep calm and don't experimental vax. We don't need no vaccination. We need hugs, not drugs. No vaccination system needed. I have my immune system. Love is more contagious than fear. Unmask our kids and free your smile. That's a great... I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. I'm not a lab rat. Control the sheep with COVID vaccines. New Nuremberg trials. These are crimes against humanity. Keep calm, don't experimental vax. Say no to the prick. And these were popular stickers. I do not consent. Take your poisons and shove it. Forced vaccines, the crime against humanity. I'm no lab rat. No vac for me. Keep calm and don't experimental vaccinate. So these are just some of the people making a stand. No vaccine, no tracking, no COVID. Peace, love and unity. Control the sheep. The real conspiracy theorists are people who believe the government cares about them. And so we made a stand protesting against this. This is just at a march to Parliament. And they stopped us. Police blocked us with riot shields and the rest. Would not let us march to Parliament without wearing masks. He said, but we're protesting masks. We can't march with masks to protest masks. That's ridiculous. And I pointed out to them, but, I mean, look how many police vehicles came there. And I said, where's the police when you need them? But, well, like when it's crime. I said, according to the South African law on protest in 1996, you're not allowed to wear a mask if you're involved in a protest. This is a protest against masks. It would be hypocritical and stupid for us to wear masks. But they still wanted us to play the masquerade. And so we refused, and we held our protest there and then. And there were too many of us for them to arrest us all, but I'm sure they would have liked to. And these are just some of the folks gathered who made a stand and spoke out against this insanity and protested against their mosque raid madness, their lockdown lunacy, and the COVID cult, salvation by vaccination. And this is a brother from Zimbabwe. In COVID tyranny, disobey. Well, then Dr. Susan Fosley, one of South Africa's top scientists, she had been doing heart transplants since 1988. And she's in charge of infectious disease control at Credit Secure. But Dr. Susan Fosley said publicly that you're more in danger from the vaccination than you are from the virus. Well, immediately the media went berserk, screaming, "She's Dr. Susan Fosley is an imbecile. What does she know? She should be stripped of her credentials, not allowed to practice medicine. University should take away her degrees and so on." And so we went to Credit Secure gates to protest, saying we support Dr. Susan Fosley. Well, I've no sooner got back from being recorded in this, my wife Lenora said, "My phone's been ringing off the hook. All my friends asking, how can your husband do something so hateful, so shocking?" Like, what? Well, we then checked, according to ETV and SATV, Peter Hammond and the demonstration were protesting against the medical staff, the doctors and nurses at Credit Secure, protesting against him. I went back and looked at the pictures. Is there anything attacking the medical staff at UCT? No. We were supporting Susan Fosley. The system is killing us. We support Susan Fosley. My body, my choice. Where's the protest against the nurses? But they had on ETV this nurse crying away, "It's so hateful, it's so hurtful. There we go, risking our lives every day for these patients. And now these people come protest against us." And we were not protesting against the nurses and doctors. We were protesting in support of one of the doctors who's making a brave stand. And the same person who believes that the world is overpopulated wants to save your life with a vaccine. So this is just our stand for Susan Fosley, and her point was so important. You're more in danger from the vaccine than you are from the virus. The percentage chance of you dying of the vaccine is very low, of the virus, but your chance of dying of the vaccine is huge. It's not the virus they want to control, it's you. Unvaccinated, uncensored, unmasked, unafraid, stop killing us. We do not consent to medical tyranny. Disobey. So, praise God for Dr. Susan Fosley, who is still making a strong stand. Vaccines can cause injury and death. If there's a risk, there must be a choice. Say no to the COVID cult. No, I'm not into your cult. So, are there any questions, comments, observations? This ends when we all say no. Do not comply. We will not comply.
Yeah, I'm glad that they did research into the effects, the negative effects of wearing your mask. Because the majority of people aren't even aware that breathing in carbon dioxide all day is definitely no good at all for any living thing, let alone humans.
Correct.
This is hardly being shared, broadcasted, made known to public knowledge.
Well, we filmed tonight, and this is to provide some ammunition that you can use. You're welcome to circulate as much as you can. We will post on our website tomorrow. So the idea is we've got to give people ammunition, and I would recommend everyone to watch films like Plandemic, Plandemic 1, 2, 3, and not only Plandemic, but Died Suddenly. I mean, these are, and tracking down the origin of the Wuhan virus, these are good documentaries that will give us the ammunition we need. We cannot trust CDC and WHO or the UN or any of these folks. The people who lied to us before cannot be trusted now. Martin Luther said, "If I profess with the loudest voice and the clearest exposition every portion of the Word of God, except precisely that point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I'm not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing him. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. To be steady on all the battlefront besides is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point. Shame on those pastors who were silent before. Shame on them who, even worse, misused their pulpits to promote the vaccine and even blasphemed the name of Christ in promoting the vaccine. Shame on them. But shame on us if we keep silent now. This is a battle. It's a battle of freedom. We can't allow them to close down churches, close down freedom. There's too many things at stake." And all over the world there are protests, and people are standing up and protesting against this Isn't it interesting that people say, my body, my choice, when it comes to abortion, when it's a different body, when it really comes to your body, they don't want you to have a choice. Your body, Bill Gates' choice. It's absolute hoax. And just to encourage you, here are pictures of millions of people marching in Berlin to protest lockdowns. The protests worldwide are absolutely huge. And in England, my inherent rights don't end when your fear begins. And I think, JP, you were there, weren't you, at Trafalgar Square for this demonstration? There's a major protest, and here's again Berlin protest. I think the media said that 1,000 people marched, but when you look at that, it looks like more like 1 million to 3 million. Unter den Linden, absolutely packed with people protesting. So don't feel like you're alone and make a stand. All over the world, there are millions of people who agree with the protest against mass grave madness, lockdown lunacy, and salvation by vaccination, COVID cult. But they want to make you feel like you're the only one. Everyone else is in agreement, but that's not true. The Bible people are against. No government's got the right to interfere in a cultural mandate of the Great Commission.